This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, like you said, we're here.
We're here, and with an intro like that, I must have to sound, you know, smart or something.
Professional.
Professional, yes, yes. Oh, if you're listening, which you should be, because it's too hot to be outside, okay?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Go inside, put on the air conditioner to 20, and sit down and relax. Oh, gosh, this smoke and this haze and this heat and everything else is like... Hey, I don't like this at all.
No, it's
this
nasty.
This makes my attitude kind of slip a little bit.
Well, I was going to do an ex-wife joke there, but I have to leave it alone.
Not on my show. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Yep.
And this show is about ideas and things you can do for your yard and how to fix things in your yard and improve your yard. And if you have any questions... You may call, no matter what I'm speaking of. You can interrupt me and say, hey, I got a question on my boxwood bush. Okay. And the number is 673-4464. 673-4464. Any questions, fair game, okay? Don't sweat it. I can handle it. I'm better than Lars Larson, I'll tell you that.
There you go.
And a whole lot nicer, too.
You won't hang up on people.
I won't hang up on you, honest. I've gone on at length with some people. Anyway, you know, as hot as it is, nobody in their right mind should be outside doing anything on days like this because, or you start very, very early, you know, 5 in the morning and knock it off at noon or 1 o'clock and take the rest of the day and recuperate from the heat, you know. Jeez Louise, I'll tell you. But I was thinking about what in the world can I talk about now? And, you know, it's hot and I've already talked about the hot stuff and... what to do and how to do it, and I guess I could talk about it some more. But sometimes, you know, we need to go back to the basics when we're planning our landscape project in our yards. And I mean, the basics starts with the soil. And the reason I'm picking on soil today is I've got several jobs going in different one just got sprayed because we're going to put a sod lawn in there. Another is on the way out till we can do something else. But in every case, the ground is as hard as concrete, for crying out loud. And of course, it's nice and warm out there. So it's the hard work and the nice heat, it really makes for a nice day.
Yeah.
But soil in your landscape is really, really important. You have to look at it and say, is it any good? How do I determine, is it good? What do I do? Does it need major work, or do I just dig holes in my ground and plant whatever dirt I find in there? You know?
Hope for the best.
And hope that it lives and that kind of thing. No, if you do those kinds of deals, it ain't going to work for you. You're going to spend a lot of time, effort, and money and come up holding the bag on some dead shrubs or dead trees unless you really recoup or rehab the existing soil that is in your ground. And like I say, you know, it's August and it's hard, it's dry. And frankly, I would wait if I was a homeowner going to do anything myself. I'd wait till after Labor Day, so it would be hopefully a little cooler, and maybe we'd have a little bit of rain between now and then. That's that's what I hope for every single day. Where's the rain? You know, what the heck's going on here? But you need to assess your yard, and does it need major work? Like a tractor or a cat or something, or should I just scrape it clean, or what do I do? Or again, just do I dig the holes in my ground and plant with what's there? And like I said, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Most soils need amendments of some kind to have success with plants growing and surviving. That's all there is to it. It has to have some way that a newly planted plant can stick out those new roots and get attached to its new home. And, you know, this is especially true in Douglas County, and I'm sure there's other counties like us, but we have a clay soil predominantly through all of Douglas County. And if it's not clay, it's kind of rocky, you know, not big rocks, you know, average size rocks like golf ball size and that kind of thing. And in between those rocks, you got clay, so you got twice the work of digging it out. But you have to contend with some bad soils. Not every place is that way. Down along the river basins, there's a lot of topsoil, you know, good soil that you can work with. It's easy, easier, let's put it that way. But any landscape project starts with the ground that you have. And unless you change that, you're going to be spitting uphill in the wind upside down and trying to get anything to grow.
That ain't no fun.
No, it's not. I've done it, trust me. And if that ground is hard and it's clay, you have to amend it. Amending means adding different types of soil to what you have to make that soil better. It's whether you have to put compost in or bark mulch or sand or all three to get something to grow in that particular place. And like I say, amending means breaking up the clay, just breaking it up, digging it out. And if it's really hard pan and it's full of rocks, just set it aside. Don't even try to amend it. Just plant whatever you're going to plant in a good amended soil that you can manufacture, that you can buy here, the pieces locally, the types of soils locally. And whatever you plant then, it has a real chance of surviving, even if it's 93 or 105, whatever. Mm. But you break it up, and if it's breakable, and, you know, it looks pretty good. It's kind of breaking up. And what the good thing about clay is it's chock full of nutrients because it doesn't drain well. So consequently, the nutrition stays in the clay. Very little of it drains out. But after you've broken up that clay, you can add some topsoil to it, compost, bark mulch, sand, peat moss. Any of those things or all of those things mixed in with the clay will give you a planting medium that anything's going to survive in there, even with the heat. And that's, you know, you don't have to add all those items, but if you did, you'd have like the number one growing media in all of Douglas County. And when we're doing landscape jobs, we're planting plants, and maybe there's 100 plants that we're planting in a particular job. If we didn't do each planting hole in that manner, and just kind of dug a hole and stuck them in, the owner's going to call me in about 2 weeks and say, "Hey, all the plants are dead. What's going on?"
Oh.
And we're not in that kind of a business. We want the plants to survive. We want them to grow. We want them to look good, you know, from day one. And if the homeowner will follow our instructions on watering, fertilizing, and those kinds of things, and at least come close to our instructions, they'll have success. If we just, like I say, dug a hole in the clay and stuck it in, it ain't going to work. You're wasting your time, your money, and effort, and the plant, of course.
Yeah.
That would be bleh. But doing the soil prep and looking at what you have to work with, this can be the most expensive part of your landscape project because it entails a lot of work, maybe with machines, with ingredients that you're going to add to the project, and the end results needs to drain properly and be able to sustain plant growth. No matter if it's a seed lawn or a sod lawn or an apple tree, it all has to be treated the same. Now for the lawns, it's a bit different type of treatment. You don't have to go down as far, but as long as you have 6 inches of good material, and if you're laying a sod lawn, if you have 6 inches of good material underneath before you hit the hard pan stuff, you're going to have success, because what's going to happen when the new roots from the sod, which is almost like the next day after you lay it, those little primary roots are just like fine hair and they're white, and they start to go down into your good mix, and they just go down very quickly, and that's how it grows from day one. Then when it gets to the hard pan, it slows down, but it still has enough vitality and energy because of the preparation that you did, so that it's strong enough to break through the hard pan and eventually get down into that and anchor itself, so it gets like the best of both worlds. It gets the easy stuff, the free food, if you will, right off the top, and then it gets into the hard pan where it has to work harder to get into it, but it does. Roots, you can break one with your fingernails. I mean, it's easy. It's nothing. But it also, as it goes down, it can break through clay. It can break through rock, for crying out loud. But you got to give it a fair shake. You got to give it a fair start so that it has that momentum and that vitality and that energy to break down into that. Otherwise, you're again, wasting your time and money and all that. You know, I see... Excuse me. I see new homes all over. They're just finished. They're just built. They're just painted or whatever. And they'll take a piece of machinery in there, a small cat or a backhoe or something, and smooth the yard out. Smooth the dirt. And I'll call it dirt. It's not soil. But they'll smooth that out and make it look presentable and do the backyard. But what they're doing is just taking that clay, kind of smashing it around and compacting it even a little bit more. And it's nice and clean, you know, so the potential buyer pulls up and says, wow, that's a cute little house. Doesn't have any landscaping at all, but it's just brand new and they just finished it. But the potential homeowner doesn't understand, for the most part, a lot of them don't understand that flat yard that looks so neat and clean, it's something you can't grow anything in, except maybe the wildest of weeds and blackberries and poison oak will come up through it, but nothing else will. That's what these yards are going to need amending before any planting is done. Even if only a lawn is the first step, amendments are essential. So you say, well, what the heck's the process? Okay.
Here we go.
Here's where the work comes in. You know, first, you got to break up the ground that's existing, to at least 6 inches. If you can go deeper, you go deeper. And to do that, you're going to have to get maybe a piece of machinery, because you're not going to do it by hand. It's not going to take a shovel out there every morning or every evening and say, well, I'll break up another 1,000 square feet here. No, you're not going to do that, not unless you're Superman. It's hard. So the best thing to do is to rent a piece of machinery that has some ripper teeth to it, or a small tractor with a scraper box and ripper teeth, so that you can actually break into that hard pan and break it up and bring it up to the surface so that it can aerify. And by aerifying, being exposed to the elements, if you will, it begins to weaken a bit. And when it weakens a bit, then it's more malleable, and you can break it up and you can do something with it. But in the meantime, if you don't do that, you're really having a tough time getting anything started. But once you break that surface up, if you can break it down to 8 inches, you do it. And then it's all broken up, the big clods are on top. The next step is to rototill that which is on top. Now, this time of year, it's going to take a lot of rototilling. So my other suggestion would be, if you're doing this yourself, you're the homeowner and you've done it before in other yards, and you're bound and determined to do this, why don't you either water it down and take a hose out there, or sprinkler, or however, and wet it down a couple three days in a row and let it soak in, so to break up the hardness of the clay. And then when you rototill it, you're actually going to be able to make some progress and see a real difference in that soil. Then you can remove the rocks and roots or whatever and spare concrete that they didn't know what to do with, so they just dumped it out in the front yard.
I see that all over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We run into it all the time. You think, well, that looks pretty good, and then you dig a little bit of a trench or a little bit of a hole just to test the soil, and there's some concrete there that was left over from the foundation that they just kind of, wasn't much, you know, bucketful or two bucketfuls or something like that.
Right.
But you got to get it out because it ain't going to work, and whatever you plant there is going to die.
Yeah.
They don't like that.
It ain't doing no good.
No, no. But after, you know, you water it down, like I say, then you can rototill it. Then you can kind of smooth it out, remove all the rocks, and make it look good. Then the next step is to add topsoil, compost, or mulch. Mm. And the bottom line, well, let's see here. The bottom line is you have to retill it at that point, and then mix all those ingredients in with the native soil, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and mix. If you got to mix, you just keep mixing. You keep adding the amendments, and the amendments can be peat moss, which is okay, but it doesn't go far enough. It's too fluffy, too light. It's not bad, but you'd have to buy 40 bags of peat moss to do, you know, say 1,000 square feet or 1,500 square feet. Whereas you can get the fine grind bark mulch, which has a little bit of body to it, and some planting compost, which is the dark stuff, and put a couple of inches of each of those things in there, and maybe a little bit of sand, and then you till all that up together. And by the time you get done mixing all that up, and you can smooth it, it's easier to smooth out, it's easier to level out, and I'm talking about a lawn now, and you can actually stick your hand down into it to say 6-8 inches, and if you can do that, anything is going to grow. It will grow.
Nice.
There's nothing, it's not like they're trying to grow through concrete or something.
Right, you know? Right, it's ready to go.
Do we have a break?
We do.
Okay, let's take a break and I'll get back.
Okay, couple of minutes here. We'll be right back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello.
We are back already.
I'm back. Yeah, that was a quick commercial, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a little short. We got a long one coming up, though.
Oh, good. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
If you have a question, 673-4464, and you can shoot it right through, and we'll take care of you. But I'm talking about ground prep. I'm talking about, hey, how do you get a lawn or a shrub or a tree to really grow, even in this hot, stinky weather with dry ground? You can do it, but it takes a lot of work, a lot of patience, and a little bit of know-how. And if you do it the way I'm talking about, you will have success. I can guarantee that. If you short hop it and try to say, yeah, I don't have to do that, you're going to have trouble. I don't care what you think. But
we got a phone call.
A phone call already?
We do.
My goodness, I'm just getting on a roll. Okay, hello.
Hello there. I'm on the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I was up in Portland at my daughter's house last week, and she had a neighbor that, I don't know, she had a stroke or something. She had to take her lawn out, and there was actually two different places, but they had taken the lawn out, and they put in the green artificial kind of like carpet or...
Artificial turf is what it's called.
Does that stuff stay on the ground pretty flat? And then how long does it stay green before the sun turns it, you know, like gray or whatever?
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure, but I've seen some in the ground for many, many years, and it still looked good. And there may be a material that they have that you can spray on, you know, if it starts to fade, that you can spray on and revive the color. But it's, you know, Legion Field, we did that to Legion Field last year. And it still looks good, and you know, it's playable in the rain or snow or whatever. And I don't know what the guarantees of longevity are, because I've never...
Yeah, I walked up to it, and I mean, it looked just like grass. I felt it. Of course, you could tell it wasn't grass, but it looked a pretty good imitation. I just wonder. And then the other thing is it per yard? Is it like super, super expensive?
Yes, it is. And I asked the price from the guys that were installing it there at Legion Field. His office is in Grants Pass. And I got his business card, where it is now, I have no clue. But I asked him, I said, well, you know, blah, 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 how much is this and how much? And he shot me some figures. And then he took out his phone and said, well, here's some other projects I did. And he shows me another school and this. And then he showed me this nice home. I forget where it was. I don't know even if it was in Oregon. It might have been. But there was this nice home, and this homeowner actually built a softball field in his yard, and he had several acres, so he built a softball field for his daughter, I guess it was, and it was gorgeous. It really was gorgeous. And I said, well, how much did that cost? He said, $250,000.
When they first did the high school, wasn't that a couple hundred thousand years ago when they went to turf?
Oh, I think it was a lot more than that. I'm not sure. I can't recall, but it was more than that.
Is that the same stuff that the homeowner would have used in their yard up in Portland there, or is it a different product?
No, it's the same kind of thing. It's long-term use, and I don't know what the guarantee periods are, but if you you know, do the basic you know, wash off the dust once in a while and and have good drainage, I mean, it works.
Yeah, so basically you just get your surface real flat, put sand on it or whatever, where it doesn't have...
Well, what they do is they actually put fine gravel on it. You know where Clint Newell's auto is down there on the corner of Stevens?
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah. I watched them put that in. And they you know, cleaned all the other stuff out, got all the roots, blah, blah, blah. And then they put gravel in there, and I thought, and they compacted the gravel, and I think they might have put some sand on top of that, but it wasn't very much. And then they rolled out this carpet.
Do they have to pin it on every 2 or 3 feet?
Well, I think there are like U-shaped pins that they put down. You know, I don't know how many feet apart. I've never done it before, so I can't give you you know, good answers. But I've been around.
I know. It seems like we thatch and reseed our lawn about every 3 years. I'm like, God, I had to just quit screwing with that. Some of that carpet and put it down and be done. I don't have to water it or anything. But anyhow, thank you very much.
Well, you know, and if you're really serious about it, you might go to Clint Newell and ask Clint, you know, for an address of who installed your lawn. I'd like to talk to him, or do you have a phone number or something like that?
Okay, thank you.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
Yeah, that's that's the easy way. Not the easy way, but it's for maintenance wise. It's once you've done all the prep. Now that'd be a lot of prep.
Oh man!
And I watched the people prepping Legion, and I watched them off and on as I drove by Clint Newell, and there was a lot to it. I mean, you just don't fling it out there, and because if you don't put a harder material on there and compact it. With the rain we have, you get soggy spots and and weak spots, and then pretty soon it wouldn't be flat anymore. It would be, you know, ugly. And,
it's kind of like a carpet if you don't get it down.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you have to have some kind of a semi-hard surface to lay it on. And the process. And if the caller is still listening, you might look in the Grants Pass phone directory for artificial turf or artificial lawns, and you'll come up with the guy that I was speaking to about who installed our field at Legion Field.
Hmm.
So, at any rate, getting back to the real stuff, the real dirt and the real...
Before that, can you want to take another call?
If I have to, yeah.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Appreciate what you're sharing.
Good.
That's actually one of my companies doing that turf stuff.
Oh, really?
The field ingredient cost was $780,000.
Wow. For how big?
The thing at Legion Field and
what the ground you're talking ground prep?
No, just the turf and the turf ingredients, the gravel and sand topping.
I see. Okay. Okay. 780,000.
Yep. Hmm. It's not cheap.
No, I know
but
it's
it lasts
cheap.
For a long time. The fellow that asked about the turf turning color, they break it down and have UV inhibitors built into the plastic, and I've seen turf that was green, beautiful, looked brand new for 25 years.
Well, you know, in all the major league baseball fields and football fields, et cetera, and colleges now that have that, they always look good on TV. So I assume that they
those cost more than what I just quoted you.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
They do a quadruple tiering base. To where it's an unbelievable base, and the more and better you do it, the more and better it lasts.
Yeah, that's for sure. Absolutely. Well, John, thank you for the information. I appreciate it.
I had a suggestion for you.
What's that?
Could you please, so somebody's doing a new yard and they're doing what you've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you could share with how you would do a raised area in the yard on top of the black mud, and still make it all still work. One of the things when you do a raised bed in a black mud application, even when you amended it and stuff like that, you still have drainage problems and separation problems and all kinds of things.
Oh, I know.
Could you share your experience with how you? I've done it
John,
to where
John,
I didn't have to do anything.
John,
I've
that's
also
a, that's
had
a John
problems that, down the road to where I had to
John,
go back through it and
I know.
And redig the entire thing down 3.5.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, that's a whole different show at a different time. I've got a theme going on here that I'm trying. You know, some
and
people don't want that.
I apologize.
Okay.
Don't forgive me.
All right.
That's all right. But that,
that's
a whole different.
Everything you do, Mike. I wish you the best.
All right.
All
thank
right.
you, John.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye. All righty.
Yeah, that's a whole different show and good suggestion. And I've done some of those in the past, but. That's also a good one to do because we do a lot of those raised planters in ground that's harder than concrete or rockier than the top of Mount Thielson, for crying out loud.
Jeez.
But this is the for the first time homeowner or maybe the first time landscaper to know what they have to do and what kind of preparation it takes to install a lawn, whether it's a seed lawn or a sod lawn, it doesn't matter. But if you do take the steps, and if you do the preparation correctly, either a sod or seed lawn will work. It will do a great job for you. On the other hand, if you skip these steps, any lawn will fail in the long run. It just can't handle it. It's only so good. If you just try to spread out what the existing soil is, throw a little bit of seed and fertilizer on it and water it, it'll sprout. And it'll sprout and probably look good for, oh gosh, maybe a couple of months before it can't get that root system down into the native soil, no matter how much you water, because if you water too much, you're going to rot the roots. You don't water enough, the young grass just dries out. So what you've done is wasted, wasted the time and the effort in trying to do it the shortcut way. It just doesn't work. And even if it were to all germinate and kind of get through the first year, in the long run, that lawn is not a healthy lawn. Because it just can't penetrate that hard pan. And so you have to go through the steps. There's no shortcut here. The primary roots, they need to penetrate. They need to become established. and in, on ground that's not prepared, the primary roots just can't get established, so no grass is going to grow or won't grow long term. So, and if your landscape vision is trees, shrubs, bark, you need good soil in each planting hole in the for plant survival and growth. And this is an easier, laborious task. But the planting hole, of course, and I've spoken about this before, should be twice the size of the plant container. because if it is, the plant's roots inside the container are usually right on the inside of the plastic. That's where they are, and they're kind of growing in circles because there's just no room for it to go. But you dig that hole, and you place good soil in the bottom of the hole, say at least 4 to 6 inches deep, and then put your shrub or your tree in the hole. Fill that hole with your good soil mix and water and see how quickly it drains. And then water it again with, say, some vitamin B1 mixed in, and it will give you an indication of how much do I actually have to water. Do I have to water it every day, or is it going to be okay once a week? Because when that initial watering goes down, a lot of times when we're in rough ground, before we even plant the plant, I'll fill that planting hole. It's just bare. It's just a hole. I'll fill that planting hole with water and watch it and time it to see how quickly the water will actually drain out. Normally in that hard pan stuff, it takes a while. So right away, you know that you need to inform the homeowner, even when you put the good soil in, even when you've raised the bottom of the roots up 4 to 6 inches from the bottom of the hole, you need to explain that to the homeowner so when they're watering, they don't overwater the plant, because overwater will kill plants just as quickly as underwater, or probably even quicker. So that's how you test things. You just see, hey, is it now, if it drains and let's say it's a hole a foot deep and a foot wide, and you fill it to the brim and you watch it, in 5 minutes or 6 minutes all the water is already drained through, that's good drainage. If in an hour it's still almost to the top, you know you've got a problem.
And there's dirt
clods floating to the top. You know you've got a problem and you have to fix it. You have to make the hole larger, deeper, and wider, and put a lot of good drainage material in it and not overwater that puppy. So, do we have a...
We do.
What do we got?
We got a break.
We got a break. You know, you start moving your hands around there, and I'm thinking, oh, what did I do wrong?
Oh, I'd let you know.
Yeah, I knew. I knew you know.
We'll be back. A couple of minutes more here with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's hard to talk in the British accent when you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, well, who was doing that? Me?
No, I was trying. Anyway, we're back with the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
And if you have a question, 673-4464, we'll try to answer it and get you on the right track. But I'm talking about hard soil and how to get plants to grow in the hard soil, from trees to shrubs to lawns. And and in the last segment, I was talking about drainage and how to test your drainage. And if the simple test is, after you dug the hole, fill it with water and see how quickly it drains. If it stays overnight right to the top, you know you got a drainage problem.
You're plugged up.
Yeah, and it ain't going to help to put anything in there because it'll die.
Yep.
if it drains, you know, just within a few minutes and kind of dissipates and everything else, that gives you an indication of how often shall I water this plant. Obviously, it doesn't need to be watered every day if it drains slowly, or if it even drains quickly. You still don't have to water it every day, because the soil mix that you put in has the ingredients by which it absorbs moisture and keeps it so that it never really dries out. When you can look at bark mulch in a yard and it looks dry and dusty on top, but if you go down a couple of inches, you'll find dampness. You'll find a different colored bark. You go down, say, 4 inches, if there's, you know, 4 or 6 inches of mulch there, you'll actually see that it, the soil is cool and could be damp, even in the hottest part of the summer. So any kind of composty type material, be it bark or planting mix or potting soil, mixed with good topsoil or sand, it'll retain the moisture for a long time. And you're not going to be caught with having the water every day. And then when we plant that plant, after we've tested and seen how quickly everything drains, we always water that plant in with vitamin B1. Vitamin B1 it's a vitamin. It's not a fertilizer, but what it does, it promotes root growth, and it also takes away any shock, especially on hot July, August, or September days where the hole's ready, the soil's ready.
Yeah.
You're still sliding the plant out of its home and sticking it in, and you're kind of messing up the roots a little bit to, you don't want them to grow in a circle, so you kind of take your fingers and separate them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then when you put the B1 in, it takes away shock. It kind of settles them in and promotes growth very quickly to the
root
system.
Kind of relaxes them.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
It actually grows. That's what you want.
Sedative.
Yeah. But like I say, B1 is not a fertilizer. It's just a vitamin for root systems.
Yeah.
And once they've got a good shot of that, they'll grow quickly into that new soil. And it's good to go. And I've used this B1 for 48 years, and it works every single time. It does. That's how it is. So don't worry about it. It's okay. It works for flowers. It works for trees. It works
even
for
vines.
Vines. Anything that has roots, it works for. So it's good stuff. And you can get it at even at the box stores have it in the co-op, and we sell it at the nursery. It's good stuff. But the bottom line is that a landscape adds beauty and value to your home. You know, and just think about the trees that you plant. You want them to grow. You want them to succeed. Well, in the long haul, they add shade and coolness to your yard, knocks down that heat a little bit.
Mm.
And the shrubs, of course, add color and variety, and it just looks good. It feels good. When you come home and you're driving up the block and you see your front yard and it's really cool looking, hey, you're happy. You're proud of it. But none of that's going to happen without proper ground preparation. And we have a call.
We do.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike. Uh-oh. I guess I just hung up.
Who did?
Whoever was on the line there.
Oh, don't hang up. Call back.
I bet it was Kyle.
Kyle called from Hawaii. To give us a bad time.
Sound like he dove into the ocean.
Yeah, really. So, and if you still, you know, these are just basic general rules to get you started in the right direction, to get you thinking about your yard and say, well, maybe that's why that tree didn't grow right, or maybe that's why those shrubs are are just kind of, you know, looking not so hot. Maybe I need to do something to them. And then you remember, well, you didn't really add any good nutrition to the soil when you planted them, so they're struggling. And it's you don't want them to struggle. You invested money, invested time, and all that. And if you don't do it the proper way, you know, a good looking landscape doesn't happen without proper ground prep. That's all there is to it. And that's the starting point. And again, I say it's the point where it's the most expense, the most labor, the most equipment that you'll probably have to use. But if you don't do that, the rest of it is worthless. It don't work, you know. So, and here's another thing. If you don't know how to get started, call a professional. have a consultation. I do consultations for folks and test their soil, look at it, and, you know, see what their ideas are, what they want to do. Do they want raised planters? Do they want flat ground? Do they want sod? Do they want sprinklers? You know, all that stuff. And then I ask them questions about, you know, the types of things. Or what's your long-term picture? What do you want to see here? How, you want an oasis? Do you want just a just a few things? Do you want something that's going to give you maximum privacy in your backyard? And from that, you kind of draw a mental picture for them, or even scratch it out on a legal pad. And, you know, then they know how to go forward. Then they know what the first step is. They know how, hey, yeah, I can do that. But if you don't want to get a pro, ask questions so that you can do it right the first time from you see your neighbor has a nice yard. Hey, Bob, how did you do that? How did you get those trees to grow like that? How did you get that lawn to look good?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do it right the first time, and no shortcuts to success. That's the bottom line.
The name of the game.
Anything you do. Do we have another call or something?
We have a break.
Oh, a break. Oh, okay.
Okay, a couple more minutes, and we will be back. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Kind of runs on its own, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, what a radio station does. You just put it on a tape recorder here.
Yep, we're back, obviously, with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, we actually taped this show last March, huh? not really. This is the live
and
stuff.
And flew in the weather.
Yeah, we flew in the weather on purpose. But anyway, I was talking, trying to finish up here on, you know, how to get started in doing this. And, you know, asking for advice. And like I say, if you're in a neighborhood, and there's a neighbor three houses down that has this beautiful yard, go be his friend. bring him an iced tea on a hot day and say, boy, you got a beautiful yard. How in the world did you get it this way?
Yeah, buddy, and, old pal.
Old buddy, old pal. And I'll tell you what, 19 times out of 20, he'll open up or she'll open up and say, well, this is what I did. And give you the full lowdown, and probably at the end of his speech to say, you know, you need some help, I'll be glad to come down and give you a hand. And
yep.
Go, gee whiz, you're here, have another iced tea. And, you know, but call someone who knows what to do, that has the years of experience and actually doing it, planning it, and having, making it successful. And then, or if nobody's around, you're out, say, in the countryside, you know, there's a lot of farmers out there that prep their ground every year, and they're meticulously prepping their ground. Of course, they've got good soil, but they still prep it. They still till it. They still make the weeds go away. And ask them about soil prep. They're experts. They have to have it correct, or they don't make a profit. They don't grow their goods unless they have everything just right. You know, ask them, hey, do you put any amendments in it, or fertilizer? How much and how often? And, you know, what's ask questions about, hey, where do I get the good stuff? I mean, you obviously might not get it at one of the box stores, but the co-op probably has it, or some other fertilizer plant, mm-hmm. or maybe there's a type of soil that you need, and you want to try it out, you know, what the cost is. Well, you've got the co-op out there in Wilbur area. They have all kinds of bark, all kinds of sand, all kinds of topsoil, and you can go out and take a look at it and say, hey, this is what my yard needs. Or Umpqua Sand and Gravel has the same kind of thing. You can buy it by the pickup load. If you got a pickup truck, they'll load it up, charge you whatever it is, and if that's enough to do your job, great. Otherwise, you can order 10 yards or 100 yards or whatever you need to do your project. Mm-hmm. But there are experts out there that will help you, that will help you every step of the way. All you got to do is ask. And, you know, that's what this show is all about, is giving you information and trying to help you if you've never done this before, or maybe you've done it and messed it up and saying, how did I mess it up? Well, maybe soil prep was it. Maybe underwater or overwater or over-fertilizer, yeah. or wrong type of soil mix or something like that. And I speak from, you know, 48 years of experience, And hey, in my early years, I messed some things up, and I had to learn, relearn and learn again. Even though I had degrees in forestry and agriculture and all that kind of stuff, I still messed up because each place is a little bit different. Each site, each home, you can have them in full sun or full shade or half and half, and each place is different, has a different type of soil makeup, has a different type of drainage patterns, and you, with experience, you get to know these things. And if you don't have the experience in making the mistakes, you don't learn.
That's true.
When you don't learn and you mess somebody's yard up, not at the yard, but you know, some things don't grow, and then you go back and do some investigation and say, ah, now I see what I did, or what I didn't do, what I should have done, and fix it. Mm-hmm. And after that, you that's another notch in your belt. Hopefully I don't make that mistake again. So,
oh,
are we done?
We got a few seconds. Had a call coming in, but we didn't have time to take it.
I'm sorry. Please call back next Wednesday, and we're going to continue in this vein for probably another week or so.
Oh, they're calling back. But we've only got like 20 seconds or so left.
Yeah, I don't think we can't do that.
We had a visitor pop in.
I know. Who was that?
That was Ashley. She didn't know we were live in here.
Ashley, huh? Well, we're moving and talking, aren't we? Anyway, yep. Thanks for listening today. I hope you learned something.
We still have a few seconds yet.
A few seconds? Why, you told me 20 seconds 58 seconds ago.
Where are you located at, Mike?
We're in south of Winston, Highway 99. Look for the big green roofs. You're headed toward Dillard. You can't miss us. We've got a lot of trees, a lot of good people, a lot of good advice.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.